Okay, I think it's time to conclude. Let me say a few words. First, maybe I would like to add a few remarks on this issue of aid. The zero poverty, I mean, let's be smart. We know that poverty is a relative concept. So the day we will approaching very few people in the world below whatever it is, 1.25, whatever, then that day I hope we'll say, okay, now look, I mean, this is ridiculous as a poverty line. So let's move the poverty line up, and then poverty will still be there. So I cannot imagine that poverty will disappear from the world agenda. So, okay, so from that point of view, development will be an issue for quite some time to come. On the other hand, I would also to insist on the fact that when we said that it's a good thing that aid is much less relevant today than it was in the past. But we also have to realize that today is a particularly good time. And for the last 10 years or maybe 15 years, the rate of growth in many poor countries has increased. And many countries in Africa are surfing on a wave of optimism. I'm not sure that this wave will be forever. One day, commodity prices will go down for agriculture, for oil, for mines, and then what will happen? Those countries again will need aid in the same way as middle-income countries went back to see the World Bank in 2009 and 10 because there was a crisis and because it was much less easy to access liquidity in an international market. It is more or less the same thing. So we cannot say that aid is becoming irrelevant. Moreover, in the case of Africa, when you look at the future and you take into account that this continent will keep growing in terms of population. If this continent has to live mostly on the rent of natural resources, we cannot imagine that this continent will develop. We cannot imagine that for the next century, either the price of commodities will keep increasing at a rate which is consistent with 4, 5, 6% growth rate for a GDP. And we cannot imagine that, as Paul was saying, that there will be more and more discoveries so that the continent will be able to grow on more natural resources being available. And this means that one way or another, because what you can finance with the rent is essentially investment. What they do today is essentially investing in non-tradable goods. It is essential that, and this was the message of Paul, that they build on the capacity to produce tradable goods, which are manufactured goods, which are agricultural goods, so that they will be able to grow. Because you cannot have growth based on essentially non-tradable goods. So, because of that, the international community will remain extremely important for the future of development in that part of the world. So, because of that, I don't think that we can simply say, forget about aid and let's look at something else. Now, let me conclude on the whole symposium. The feeling I get after one day and a half talking about development, and I think it was a very enjoyable symposium, is that we are, I mean, if we go back to what Thierry and Danny were discussing yesterday, I mean, the tribe, the Econ tribe, where development economists were really the low status caste. I think that since then we made a lot of progress. I think that we are really more in the upper class. Now we are becoming the Brahman of economics. And what is interesting is that, and we can see it because of the number of journals in development economics which are being created. We can see it with all the students that want to have do their PhD on development issues. It's simply amazing. And one of the reasons, I believe, is the fact that development is an important issue in today's world, in any case, and also the fact that development economics is not a field in economics. It is not macro, it is not micro, it is all. In order to study, I mean, some people refer to development studies, and then they include sociology and anthropology, of course, and economics. And if we, I tend to agree with this view of development, but if we restrict ourselves to development economics includes macro, micro, behavioral economics, experimental economics, political economy, of course, and all this is really what development economics is about. And from that point of view, when we say that economics has expanded over the recent decades and now is touching upon issues which it was not considering 15 or 20 years ago, development economics is really the best example of that. I mean, we're really looking at, when we listening to Thierry today about culture, listening to Jean-Philippe about the kind of, these are issues which were not really on the agenda of economists 15 years ago. And today we are listening to work, to research being done in this area, and we are convinced that this is really, that this should be at the center of the reflection on development. So I think that we have to be very satisfied that development economics is so dynamic, so lively to some extent. And I think this is one of the first lessons that I draw from what we heard about the last 1 day and a half. So another very satisfactory fact is that more and more things are evidence-based because, and we insisted on that, there are more and more data and there are more and more people producing data. This is also something new. In the old days, we had to rely on what was available. Now, with this wave of experimentation, we have more and more people, and as a matter of fact, more and more resources to collect data which correspond to a very specific question. This is very, very good. And of course, this has to be encouraged, and this is certainly helping the whole field. At the same time, I think that we should be aware of the fact that we tend to be using that evidence within reduced form models, which are not telling us so much about what is behind a relationship. This was the case with cross-country regressions, which is still a sport that is being practiced by many people, because there is no other data available in some cases. But this is also true of experimental economics. I mean, people doing randomized controlled trials are basically using a reduced form model where you put something at in the on one side of the box and you look at what is getting out of the box. But the box is still a black box. And from that point of view, I think that we should be very careful in using the kind of evidence in making sure that we are also concerned by what is going on within the box and by the structural models which can explain what is going in within the box. Now, another very important thing that we ended up the day talking very much about policy issues, and maybe more than in other fields in economics, development economics is really very much concerned with policy implications. And from that point of view, we certainly made a lot of progress in some areas. Stefan was mentioning the improvement in the macro policies in developing countries. I hope that it is okay that macro policies have indeed improved. This is not a result of very favorable circumstances due to high commodity prices. When I see that Ghana and Kenya and Mozambique are getting to the markets and are borrowing money and are issuing bonds, I'm a little concerned because the time where we had to solve the debt problem of developing countries is not so far away. So I hope this is the case, but certainly development economics has been useful in reflecting about the kind of policy that had to be used, and this is true in many areas. But the final discussion that we had and the final presentations made by Stéphane and by Paul, I think should make us quite somewhat pessimistic, because when we look at the importance that governance, institutions, culture possibly has in the development process, as in explain the role that these factors have in explaining the state of development in some countries today. What can we do about this? I mean, should we be, as development economists, observers, and being like, observers, say, okay, this is what is going on in that country. I have a very nice political economy model to explain the way in which those elites are fighting against each other, or the way in which that particular elite is exploiting the rest of the population. Fine, I mean, we need to have this kind of analysis. But we also need to have levers to influence that. Should we stay as a pure witnesses of what is going on, or shouldn't we try to influence, to intervene? And somehow, I always thought that behind a development economist, there were activists, people really willing to change things. And from that point of view, the discipline, the field is extremely dynamic. A lot of things have been going on, and we have to be very satisfied with that. A lot of students are writing their dissertation on development, but on this very fundamental issue of whether it is possible, not possible, to influence the speed at which poverty, let's hope so, will be being reduced, at least at with the actual the present level of the poverty lines, we are really very very far from the mark. And I think that the natural conclusion of those 2 days is really that we need to do more work. We need to spend more time on this. I must say that the reason why I and with Jean-Philippe myself, I worked on this issue of aid and this very theoretical analysis of aid is basically because I was deeply dissatisfied with my experience in the World Bank. And I saw that really this the way in which aid was managed was not satisfactory, that I needed to try to understand what was going on. We need much more in the profession, much more people working in this area. And last point, I was yesterday asking the panelists, what would be your recommendation if a student is asking you, about a topic for his or her dissertation? Now, and there were several answers, and basically the most frequent answer was, I would tell him to choose a very interesting topic and to do a very serious work. Okay, fine. but the problem, what I think is happening these days in economic research is that we have a kind of balkanization of the research. People, and especially students, tend to work more and more on very, very focused issues. And because of that, they and we in general are losing a general perspective on development. And this is a balkanization which is taking place at the PhD level, but the problem is that it continues for quite some time, because if you want to publish in good journals, you need to, again, to innovate in a very, very specific and very narrow of an area. And maybe what is also missing is people who are able to get the big picture, to look at the big picture. So I think that the people who were attending and who spoke at this meeting, this symposium, were people of that type. They got the big picture. And because of that, those 2 days have been extremely interesting. But we should make sure that we don't lose sight of the big picture, and that we are that the whole community is going in that direction. So let me conclude by thanking again the audience, who has been quite quite serious in attending the various sessions. It's 6:45. It's a Friday night. There is a big game tonight. So let me thank all the speakers. They've done wonderful jobs. They are fabulous colleagues. And I thank them. And they're also fabulous friends. So thank you for coming. And thank you.